to the R&R Show with Sam and Jacob from First Baptist Church of Sanford. We're here to give you a ready response as we apply God's Word to some of life's questions.
Hey, welcome to the R&R.
Welcome to this new year, 2021. Jacob, are you excited about this new year?
Yes, I am.
Well, so much you just cracked a Coke. There you go. Well, let's talk about this coming year, Jacob. When we think about the opportunities that God has given us, and including the opportunities to have different episodes each week, we want to look at this coming year as a way for us to talk about theology. And I thought today we would talk about, why should we even study theology before we launch into a year of our episodes that deal with different topics in systematic theology? We'll do other shows as well, but we'll mostly approach it from that standpoint. Jacob, why should we even study theology? I would say there are objections that people just in church life would bring up. Those that love the Bible, they love God's Word, but when they hear the word theology or the idea of studying theology, they might push back on that.
I think some people, when they hear the word theology, or like even now when you've said systematic theology, there's probably some people whose eyes are slowly beginning to glaze over like a Krispy Kreme donut, and they think, I don't need to know that. That's not important for me, as long as the pastor knows about it, or, you know, that it, they just don't think it's applicable to them.
Right. We know you went to seminary. Thank you. Don't use words we don't understand. There's no need for that. And by the way, how does it, it doesn't even affect my life. And so why don't we just talk about that? Would systematic theology, having a grasp of systematic theology, have some practical effects on our lives? Before we get into some of these big picture reasons as to why we should study theology, do you think it influences us in our daily lives?
Well, if you're doing it right, yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm going to put it like this. All of us have a theology, whether we would there say it go. Out loud or write it down. The way that we live our lives and what we value shows what our theology is.
Yes.
It's kind of like how we all worship something, whether we would say it out loud or not. Does that make sense, kind of what I'm saying?
Yeah, we all have a theology because we all have a thought about God. You know, C.S. Lewis would say there really are no atheists, and we can deal with his moral argument and apologetics in another show. But theology, in one sense, is the study of God. But we're going to talk about systematic theology today, which would be what the whole Bible says on a particular subject. Okay, that's basically systematic theology, yep. And as one former theologian who's now gone home to be with the Lord said, the most important thing about us is what we think about God. When we, you know, what pops into our head when we think of God, that's the most important thing about us. Jacob, I would just say, if you think through that as a Christian, that's true, because our view of God influences not just what we write down on a piece of paper in answer to a systematic theology test. It influences our lives, how we live.
It should trickle down into every area of your life. You know, if you really believe this about God or that about God, it's going to affect everything that you do.
Yes, yes. But I could understand if some of our listeners are saying, okay, those are neat opinions you have, but will you please give me some scripture to support why you're so sure we should study systematic theology?
We're
so
big on scripture here.
We are. So let's just give the basic reason as to why we should study systematic theology. And when we talk about studying systematic theology, it means collecting and summarizing the teachings of many individual Bible passages on a particular topic. Okay, I had my first study Bible was a John MacArthur study Bible. Brand new Christian. I still have it. I mean, the cover's fallen off. Great study Bible. But in that particular study Bible, as you know, Jacob, MacArthur, he has notes on most all of the verses in the Bible. When I was a Christian for a year or two, I had a friend who gave me the NIV Topical Study Bible. This was different than the MacArthur Study Bible because it had notes on particular topics. What does Scripture say? All the Scripture say about a particular topic. That's systematic theology. Here's the basic reason, though, from Scripture, if you're looking for a verse, you can go to Matthew 28, verse 20. Here's Jesus. This is in starting with verse 18. He is giving what's known as the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to his disciples, said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So the reason that we as Christians should study theology, study systematic theology, is because Christ has commanded us to teach believers, others, teach others all that he has commanded. And, you know, in a narrow sense, and we're relying on Wayne Grudem here a lot, he has some great insights into this. In a narrow sense, to teach all that Jesus commanded, Jacob, we could just say, okay, well, let's just get out our red letter Bible and whatever Jesus' words were, we'll just, if as long as we just know what Jesus said, then we're fulfilling the Great Commission of teaching all that he commanded. Would that be a good way to look at it?
I really hate when people say that. That just drives me nuts, and inwardly I'm just like groaning.
I know. I'm looking at my ESV that has Christ's words in red letters, and that's another topic for another day. But that's a very narrow sense of all that Jesus commanded.
It's a lazy sense.
Yes. I mean, okay, just, we don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but if we think through this, the Gospels give us Jesus's life and many of his teachings, but it doesn't end there. The book of Acts, Luke is telling us that Jesus's ministry continues in the book of Acts through the Holy Spirit. And of course, the epistles are Spirit inspired, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit interpreting and applying Christ's teachings.
And one of my favorite passages, you know, when they're on the road to Emmaus, Jesus says that all of the prophets and the law, so basically the Old Testament, Jesus says that all of that points to him, and he breaks it down for the disciples. So you can't even ignore the Old Testament because Jesus says that that's about him.
Exactly. Exactly. And throughout Jesus' life and ministry, he continually, consistently notes that the Old Testament are God's words, our Old Testament. Those are scriptures, and they're authoritative for us. So if we're going to be the whole basic reason for us to study systematic theology, let me just give a quick contrast here between systematic theology, that's taking a particular teaching and seeing what all of Scripture says about it, collecting and summarizing all the verses, that's systematic theology, versus biblical theology. That would be taking a teaching of Scripture and following it from Genesis through Revelation and seeing how that teaching, there's progressive revelation. And that would be biblical theology. It's useful, it's helpful, but it's something that's different. Why should we have systematic theology? Well, if we're going to teach all that Jesus commanded, we would not have the time or the wisdom to go and find all of the teachings on all of the topics that are contained within Scripture. If we started at Genesis, you know, and tried to find out, okay, when is Jesus going to come back? And we wanted to find all the teaching on the return of Christ. If we started Genesis 1:1, it would take us a long time.
A really long time.
To work through that. And then along the way, there would be other questions that would pop up that would need to be answered. And so if we're going to be faithful to teach all that Jesus commanded to fulfill the Great Commission, we need the help of others that have invested the time, invested the work, and have studied Scripture and have looked at what it says in all of its teaching, in all of its verses about a particular doctrine. Yes.
I would say another really good thing about systematic theology is the way that it looks at everything Scripture says about a particular topic. It forces you to look at all of it. It keeps people honest a lot better. You know, if it would be very easy for Sam or I to cherry pick one passage of Scripture and convince you that the Bible teaches something that it might necessarily not, because we would not be looking at all of Scripture. We wouldn't be comparing it to all the things that God's Word says. So when we do systematic theology, It keeps you honest, because we can't twist Scripture quite as easily in a bad direction whenever you have all the different parts of Scripture to look at.
No, that's a great point. When Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 26, "Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." And that's such a great point you make, Jacob, because I think many times as Christians, there's a tendency to just find a verse here or maybe two, maybe three to support what we think is right. And we can all be guilty of this, of having some misunderstandings about a particular teaching. But when we bring in systematic theology, it helps us. It works against that, because we can't just get by having one or two passages. We have to look at the whole counsel of God to see what it says.
Right. That guy who wrote The Prayer of Jabez, that terrible book that none of you should be reading, if he believed in systematic theology, he wouldn't have cherry-picked that one passage to convince you all that you're supposed to be rich and healthy. You know, he would have looked at all the verses of Scripture, and then he would have realized, I'm talking nonsense.
All right, now call in 919-775-1050. If The Prayer of Jabez book by Bruce Wilkinson has changed your life, Jacob wants to hear from you. So 919-775-1050. But if you have a particular viewpoint about systematic theology, or perhaps you've had a situation where you've come to realize the value of it, would you call in? We would love to hear from you. 919-775-1050. So the primary reason we study systematic theology, Jacob, is to be obedient to the Great Commission. But again, it does benefit our lives. And you brought up one of the greatest benefits, or a tremendous benefit, is it helps us overcome our wrong ideas. And it's easy for us to have just a wrong idea about a particular teaching. Mm-hmm. So that's a good way to deal with it. What else? Can you think of any other benefits that systematic theology gives to us?
Well, I think one benefit is that it forces you to read or spend time in both the New Testament and in the Old Testament, the full counsel of God, if you will. Because when people study systematic theology and it takes in all of Scripture, the New Testament supports the Old Testament, and the Old Testament points you towards Jesus in the New Testament. And so it helps you have a better grasp, a better understanding of Scripture as a whole. You can't just pick your favorite book of the Bible and then ignore your least favorite book, because systematic theology is going to drag you through all of them. Would you agree with that?
I would. And I could just imagine a listener or two or more saying, "Now, wait a minute, my pastor just recommended a daily Bible reading plan for me, or gave me some suggestions for daily Bible reading plans." In fact, in our church newsletter, I did offer several suggestions. There are a ton out there. Do you know I found 19 different daily Bible reading plans with just like 3 minutes of research, and some are better than others. My point in all of this is I could imagine a listener saying, "Isn't that all I need to do? Just, you know, read through the Bible, just spend time in God's Word. Do I really need systematic theology?" My first answer to that would be, there is tremendous value in reading through the Bible. Anytime we can
reading the Bible daily, happy.
I'm a firm believer there is power in the Word of God. And yet, the point you're making, Jacob, is there's a real danger in neglecting the study of systematic theology, because what if we're just drawn to the New Testament more than the Old Testament? Mm-hmm. And by the way, I mean, we're New Testament Christians, some, you know, like that label. And why don't we just stay in the New Testament? We would be missing out on a good portion of the Bible if we were to do that.
Yeah, the majority of it.
So another reason would be to understand all of the Bible, and not just relegate ourselves to one testament or one type of genre of literature. We love the historical books, or we love the Gospels, and systematic theology will help us to have a greater appreciation for the teaching of a doctrine coming from all of Scripture.
You know, another thing is, and pastors, ministers get hit with this all the time. And you know, and if people know that you're a Christian, they may come to you with this. Is people will come to you and say, well, what does the Bible say about this? And it'll be any topic you can think of. It could be, what does the Bible say about abortion? Or what does the Bible say about race? Or whatever. Whatever topic you want. They'll come to you and say, what does the Bible say about this? Well, in order for you to give them a coherent answer that answers their question, you're basically processing systematic theology, right, Sam? And you're going to sit there and in your mind, you're going to go through the scripture that you know. Hopefully, you know some, and hopefully, you're going to answer from scripture, not just your gut. But
yeah.
If you have a firm grasp on systematic theology, that's something that you look at, you're going to be much more prepared to give them a biblical answer.
Yes, yes. And I just had a conversation recently, Jacob, with someone who told me how much they benefited from Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. Now,
much better than Prayer of Jabez.
We could talk about Experiencing God. We've mentioned the Blackaby view on finding God's will. I think actually Experiencing God is an example of systematic theology. Now, he doesn't use those terms, and it's certainly not exhaustive, and I'm not saying stop there. If you've done Experiencing God, you've done all the systematic theology study you need to do. But what is he doing? He's taking what the Bible teaches, not just in the New Testament, but throughout all of Scripture, and he's summarizing teachings about God or about prayer. I mean, so that's an example. So if you may be one of those many Christians who's benefited from Experiencing God, let me just say, great, but there's also much more out there with additional systematic theology study. So you would say, Jacob, that people can come to us and ask us questions about such and such, and systematic theology will actually help us to answer that question. What does the Bible say about ABC much better?
Yes, and you would be able to explain why you think that. Well, we believe this about your question because of these different pieces of Scripture that coincide and talk about this.
Right. I like the illustration that Wayne Grudem uses to describe systematic theology in the life of a Christian. He says, imagine, you know, you're sitting down to do a jigsaw puzzle, and how do you begin? Well, this is the way most of us begin. We find the edge pieces, and we get the edge, we get the border done, we get that all filled out, and then we begin to fill in the rest of the puzzle. And systematic theology is much like those edge pieces. It's the border. You're getting, someone say, when you're building a large building, it's the steel structure of it. You know, it's the foundation, but it's more than that. It's that outer edge of the jigsaw puzzle, I think, is probably the better illustration. So it would be hard to fill in the gaps if you didn't have that border.
Yes.
And so systematic theology in many ways gives us that theological border, and now we can go put in more pieces, correct pieces, for the rest of our lives as we study the Bible more, because we have an outline of what God's word says.
And even if, you know, even as you study systematic, you know, theology or talk about it, there might be places where, you know, Sam may come to me and ask a question, and I think, gosh, you know, that's not directly spoken about in Scripture. There's not a verse that explicitly talks about that. But if you've spent time looking at systematic theology, a lot of times what you'll say is, okay, but here's a principle that is taught in Scripture. Here's a theme that is throughout the Old and the New Testament. And because of this, and because of knowing this, I have a better idea of how God may feel about that. Does that make sense? Am I wording that good, Sam?
Absolutely. It's, and I think that just leads into another benefit. It helps us to grow as Christians. I love what Grudem says about it. The more we know about God, about His Word, about His relationships to the world and mankind, the better we will trust Him, the more fully we will praise Him, and the more readily we will obey Him. We're going to grow in wisdom, as you're noting, Jacob. We're going to be able to apply the whole counsel of God to a lot of different areas of life in better ways. And you know, if we're not growing by studying systematic theology, we're not doing this very well. I think you have an example or an illustration of one of your professors from seminary who said, if your theology, you know, isn't doing this, then it's not good theology.
We were sitting in the lounge at school one day, and I was just trying to eat my lunch, you know, in between classes, and these students were basically arguing about, you know, crazy high theology and all this kind of stuff.
Sure.
And the professor comes in and listens, and he kind of says, you know, that's all well and good that you guys are talking about it and saying these things, but you know, if that theology that you're putting forth doesn't work, you know, in the rest home when grandma has forgotten who everybody is, or that theology doesn't work when somebody's kid has been killed in a car wreck, or things, and he listed five or six other situations, he goes, it's wrong.
Yeah.
You guys have not put enough thought into it.
Right. And likewise, like Grudem says, studying systematic theology rightly will make us more mature Christians. And if we're not growing as Christians, if we're not becoming more mature, then we're not studying theology correctly. 1 Timothy 6:3, Paul speaks of the teaching which accords with godliness. And he says that his work as an apostle is to, quote, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness. So our knowledge of the truth that we're learning by studying systematic theology will accord with godliness if we're doing it correctly. We're going to be maturing. We're going to be stronger Christians. And in contrast, 1 Timothy 1:10, Paul here notes that all kinds of disobedience and immorality are, quote, contrary to sound doctrine, unquote. So I think that's a good way of saying how this has really strong applicability. By the way, I played golf one time with this pastor, not a close friend, but an acquaintance, the first time we met, and he told me about reading these certain German theologians in his Ivy League Divinity School doctorate, and I just listened. You would be familiar with their names, Jacob.
Don't say them. I don't want people to look them up.
I will not. But in any event, he said, now I had no idea, did not understand what they were saying. And I said, well, not many people do. He said, but they were right. I thought, that is crazy.
What?
I know. Okay. I know. And then after that, I tried to convince everyone that was under his ministry, really consider looking for a better church. Go ahead.
Well, okay, so how about this, Sam? There might be somebody listening who's saying, all right, we get it. We're supposed to look at the systematic theology thing, but where is a starting point? How do I go about that? Is there a book you recommend? Is there a starting place? If they've bought in,
okay,
where's a good starting spot?
Well, I would actually encourage you to ask your pastor if...
Unless it's that guy he was playing golf with.
No, yeah, don't ask that, pastor. Ask, assuming you're at a strong Bible-teaching church that accords with right teaching and godliness, go to one of your pastors and ask them if they would consider doing an intro study on systematic theology or taking a particular doctrine of Scripture and teaching that from the standpoint of systematic theology. Another thing you could do, Jacob, you could start with, I'm not a huge fan of study Bibles. Some of them are better than others, but if there's a topical study Bible that's sound, again, hopefully you have a more mature Christian in your life, a pastor that can give you some recommendations. There are also some introductions. There's one by Alistair McGrath that is pretty good. We've been talking about Wayne Grudem. It's a thick book. I mean, you can be really intimidated by Grudem's book, but he writes so well and so clearly that I would recommend that you check that out.
And if you don't want to buy the 50-pound Grudem book, whenever I have kids graduate from my program, a lot of times I have given them an ESV study Bible. And one of the things I like about it is if you turn all the way to the back, you can think of just about any topic that a Christian might have questions about, from the death penalty to stuff about kids, and they'll have an essay in the back that basically summarizes the systematic theology. It'll give you different spots in the Bible,
yeah,
and it'll compare. That might be a good starting point for some people.
Right. The topical NIV that I was talking about actually had these different topics throughout the pages of Scripture. You know, it would just put it right there on that page. So in all fairness to Johnny Mack, the MacArthur Study Bible does have something similar to the ESV Study Bible. You can go to the back and you can find different topics to read about. And it approaches it from a whole counsel of God, systematic theology teaching. So we would want to also, I think, address this, Jacob. Systematic theology will deal with sound teaching, sound doctrine. We might want to ask this question before we close today. Is there a difference between a major doctrine and a minor doctrine? I don't think it hurts to go back over this, Jacob. In your estimation, because I know we've touched on this before, what would be some major doctrines taught in Scripture?
Major doctrines, I would say, you know, divinity of Christ, his work on the cross. You know, it pretty much anything dealing with Jesus Christ to me is like, that's hands off. That's got to be right. We got to be on the same page with this. So, you know, born of a virgin, divinity, sinless life.
Okay.
You know, resurrected. That would be my starting point.
Yes. Yes. Here's what Wayne Grudem says. A major doctrine is one that has a significant impact on our thinking about other doctrines, or that has a significant impact on how we live the Christian life. That's pretty good. A minor doctrine is one that has very little impact on how we think about other doctrines and very little impact on how we live the Christian life. Obviously, there are degrees here, but of course, you named some of the huge ones: the deity of Christ, justification by faith alone through grace, Christ's work on the cross. Yeah,
but some stuff we could disagree on, like
specifics about the tribulation.
Yeah, pretty much, because every book you read, none of them are the same. Or like this.
Although we could have someone call in and tell us that is a major doctrine. But go ahead.
Okay, please don't. Please don't do that. I would say, like this past Sunday, you talked about the institution of the Lord's Supper. Maybe some people do it a little bit differently.
Okay, so some details about that.
Or foot washing. Some people do foot washing at their church. We do not. That's probably not a deal breaker.
That would fall along the lines of a minor doctrine.
Yes.
Okay, very good. And
you were worried. You thought I was going to say something crazy. Go ahead.
No, never. But I would say this. Some people might push back and say we don't really need to do this, that there's a systematic theology. They might say it's just too neat and tidy. Okay, here's one objection that's been raised. You're taking things that were never intended to just, you know, be put together so tightly. It's too neat, some might say. Okay, we don't even like the idea of systematic when we start talking about doctrines. But again, I think this goes back to the nature of God himself. I mean, God's truths are not going to contradict one another. Truth itself will not contradict.
Mm-mm.
So, again, I think that's a weak...
that's
objection.
Usually somebody wanting wiggle room to do something crazy.
Right. We don't want to make it, like you said, just kind of dry and heady stuff that has no application. But yet, we shouldn't shy away from the fact that we can collect and summarize the teachings of the Bible in a systematic way. Jacob, I've enjoyed our discussion. I think we've set the table for the coming year as we talk about these different doctrines.
Yep, so we'll be looking at different doctrines this year, and hopefully we'll make it interesting to you guys.
See you next week. We want to thank you for listening to the R&R Show today. And look, if you don't have a church home currently, we'd like to invite you to visit us at the First Baptist Church of Sanford.
Yep, we're located at 202 Summit Drive here in Sanford, and we're currently having an outdoor service at 8:30. So bring your lawn chair and meet up with us in the morning.
We look forward to seeing you then.